Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. Join us now as our pastor, Gordon Dixon, opens the Word of God to us.
Now, I'd like to ask you, as you turn back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I would like to ask you to look deeply, to carefully consider. I know that I am speaking to a congregation that we have taken you through an entire series, an entire quarter of Sunday school lessons on love your neighbor, what it means to love one another. Fascinating, wonderful teaching we receive from the Word of God, how thankful we are for that. I've never quite gotten over the impact of that study of what it means to love one another. But I think that what we have to do from the beginning, if we know that love is the heartbeat, it's the beating heart here that inspires us and compels us, motivates us to fulfill the Ten Commandments, isn't it important for us to know what love is? What is love? Well, it's very plain in Scripture that at the very least, love is... it is self-sacrificial. It is self-denying. And that comes out very plainly. God so loved the world that He gave, and whom did He give? He gave His only begotten Son. That's a sacrifice of Himself. He gave the Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I are to be loving people, it involves being self-sacrificial. Now look, the world really will twist this all over. The world says, oh no, you need to practice the esteemed self. You can't love others until you love yourself. As we talk about love this morning, let's ask, well really, what is love? It's interesting that our King James Version would translate this as the word charity, because the word charity in our thinking today communicates the idea that you are giving to someone who really cannot repay you. That you are giving to someone with no real hope of return. You are just giving because it is right to do, or in our case, because we honor the Lord of love. And so when we think about that word, here's what we're really talking about. We're talking about a self-sacrificing or self-denying act of the will. Now stop and think about that for a moment. Why an act of the will? Well, the world has it all confused that's an emotion. It's something that happens. You know, it's when your palms start to sweat. Not your palm pilots, but your actual palms. When they start to sweat and your heart beats faster. And there's something that happens. Many of our teenagers begin to understand that we call it puppy love, that first crush. They begin to think, well, I feel wonderful and my heart beats faster and my palms are sweating. This must be love. In fact, here's what you discover in the Word of God. You discover that you will feel right when you do right. You find that in the Word of God, love is an act of the will. We would say it is a volitional act. We choose. You do not fall into love. You act. You say, I am choosing to do this. And so it is this self-sacrificial choice, a self-sacrificial act of the will devoted to what? Devoting to meeting the needs of the others. The needs of others, or you might say, to do the will of others in the sense of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're seeing here, it's an act of the will, it's a choice, it is self-sacrificial. What we're going to do with this morning's message is we're going to go through and carefully study that definition and really find out if it passes muster here. Now, look if you will at verse 1. He says, though I speak, he is speaking here hypothetically, though I speak with the tongues of men. What does that mean, the tongues of men? It means the known languages of the world. And I've seen that phrase twisted all over creation. People say it means all kinds of things, especially when it says right after that, the tongues of angels. They say, well, what we're actually doing is speaking an angelic language. Can I point out to you what Paul is really doing here? He is saying, though I speak with the tongues, the languages, the known languages of men, and even, well, hypothetically, he is exaggerating here, so we would call it a hyperbole. He is saying, hypothetically, if I were able to speak with the tongues of angels, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, have not this self-sacrificial love, I'm become as sounding brass or as tinkling cymbal. This word sounding here has the idea of a terrible clanging, a terrible loud noise. The word brass, it has the idea of a hollowed out piece of brass. So you could say it's a trumpet. You could say it's some sort of an instrument. There is a blaring there. Some have said, well, it's a gong. It's a brass piece that is actually hollow, and it's a gong of some sort. And then he goes on to say, sounding brass or as tinkling cymbal, clashing cymbals. He is showing us something very interesting about love here that we would be very tempted to confuse, especially, may I point it out, in this day and time when we have, say, religious programs on TV and we have so much media that claims a certain religiosity. What has happened over the years is that Christian media has become big business. Many of the Christian book distributors, many authors who wrote The World Little by Little began to say, you know, there's a niche market there. There's a market and we could make some real money. And so little by little what has happened is the larger conglomerates have bought out a lot of the small makers of books and publishers of books. And before long there is this pressure that comes on, this pressure that ultimately begins to twist the meaning of what was actually being said, and even put pressure on authors to say it a certain way and do not alienate the target audience. We call that being market-driven. What has happened then is that book publishers will often sign people who have well-known reputations. If they are well-known, if they appear on television and radio broadcast, if they have a high profile, then there's a lot of publicity surrounding them. They say to themselves, this will sell books. And so little by little, what has begun to happen is there has been this awe and this show that has gone on, where more and more people have begun to say, wow, here is a wonderful speaker. Here is someone who really understands how to speak and how to communicate clearly and can really make the message known. But ladies and gentlemen, there is a warning that is implicit in this passage that we must see. And that is, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I am missing this love. What's missing here? I am missing this self-sacrificial act of the will. If I am missing that, well, he goes on to tell you there. What is it? What happens? He says, I'm become as a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. What is he pointing out here? May I put it to you this way? Love doesn't try to put on a show. Love doesn't try to put on a show. What love does is love shows others how to live. What the distinction I'm making here is between talking and training, I suppose. But love doesn't just talk. Love trains others to succeed. He uses the idea of sounding brass or his tinkling cymbal. Many of you remember over the 10 years that I've been here at Calvary that on two occasions what I've done is the very thing that I'm going to do this morning. Only on a couple of other occasions what I used was I used my wife's pot lids. My wife does not care for me to use her pot lids, and so what I did this morning is I asked Mr. Davis if I could actually use cymbals from our band. I have no idea how to play notes on these. I don't even know how to hold them correctly. But I can give you a rough approximation. Now, look, you'll walk out and remember, oh yeah, remember the time that Pastor Dixon clashed the cymbals together. Oh, remember how much that... But it's wrong if you walk out of here missing the point. If you miss the point of this illustration, then I have failed. So let me tell you what the point is right up front. It is possible to put on a show in such a way that you think you are attracting people when in fact you are alienating people. And that's the point that verse is making. Whereas we might think, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Now, just for an experiment, if I were to walk up and down the aisles here, and I were just to say, look, great day, wait. Oh. It wouldn't be all that long before the people in this congregation would either run, I would if I were you, or they would try to gently keep their smiles on and begin to put their fingers into their ears. Just now, a couple of people tried to cover their ears, and a couple of other people worked on their hearing aids to be sure that everything was going to be just right. Why? Well, because it alienates people. That's why. It is possible to do what you do in such a way that you think, wow, they're really attracted to this. Wow. And in fact, the entire time, it is alienating people and driving them away. That's the point he is making here. We're going to learn this morning these lessons of love, so shall we learn them? The first lesson of love is this. The outline, by the way, is there in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Without love, your language and speech will only be obnoxious noise-making. Now, if I had kept that up, I think, by the way, I began to give myself a headache just now. But if I had kept that up, if I had walked along and just clashed the cymbals up and down and up, look, in its right context, you know, at that peak moment in a piece, oh, they're wonderful. I mean, it's perfect. But just bang, 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 after a while, it's like this haranguing. Ladies and gentlemen, if we are missing love and without love, our language and our speech will be only obnoxious noise-making. How do your neighbors see you when they hear you talk, when they hear you talk about the Lord, when they hear your discussions? How do your discussions actually come across to them? It is possible to think that we are being very attractive when in fact we are alienating people and driving them away. Well, let's press on in verse 2. Notice what he says. And though I have the gift of prophecy, this appears to be a reference to not foretelling the truth, but foretelling, that is, the very thing that's going on this morning, preaching, talking to others about what the Lord says as you are preaching. He says, though I have the gift of prophecy, if you go to Romans chapter 12, you'll find that listed as one of the spiritual gifts, the gift of preaching, the gift of a prophet. Gift of teaching is listed in there. The gift of mercy, gift of serving, administration, all listed in that passage in Romans chapter 12. Now, when he speaks here, he says, all right, what if I have this? What if I have a gift? Sir, ma'am, what if you were given a gift by the Lord? It's a gift from God. You say, well, if it's a gift from God, then surely everything will be fine. After that, I'm on the high road and it can never be abused. Nothing could ever be wrong. If you go back and study in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, go in chapter 1 down verses 1 through 9, here's what you would find. You would find that Paul told the congregation there that they were enriched, that in nothing did they come behind or lack. They lacked nothing. They had every spiritual gift. They apparently had doctrines that were right. You go through and study what Paul said about the church at Corinth. They understood his doctrine. They understood his teaching. According to this passage, what was missing was not the actual spiritual gift itself. What was actually happening was there was an absence of love.
Thank you for joining us for Glimpses of Calvary. This is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, 2000 Broad Avenue in Findlay, Ohio, 45840. That address again is 2000 Broad Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Please join us again each weekday at this same time as we look for Glimpses of Calvary.